Hello.
Hello to Gary Mackey.
That's right, aye.
Hi Gary, it's James again calling from MMA Legal. How are you today? Okay?
I'm all right, aye.
Fantastic. Unfortunately, I do have to pass you through data protection questions again, Gary.
Right, that's
Will you just
for
confirm for me your date of birth, please?
that. 7/6/1963.
Fantastic. Your postal address?
135/1 Marylebone Road in Edinburgh, and the postcode is E876BZ.
Fantastic. And can you confirm for me either your mobile number or your email address, please, Gary?
I'll get my mobile number back up again now if you just give me a minute.
Yeah, no worries.
Oh, wait, I can't get you your phone, shall I? That's my wife in now, so I'll get out her phone. 07889
Yeah.
675364.
Fantastic, you've passed data protection now. Just to let you know, the phone calls are recorded for training and monitoring purposes. Just continuing on from our break, Gary. We are going to continue, obviously, the final part of the witness statement for you now. Again, the questions that I'm going to follow up with, the 12 questions, are in relation to your third curse setting placement. So could you kindly confirm for me the institutional name?
Yes, it was a Wellington Farm.
Wellington Farm, the location?
Penicuik.
Could you spell that for me, please?
PENICUCK.
Yeah. Do you remember the approximate date and age you was?
14 or something, 14, 15, something like that.
And do you remember who placed you there?
It was the assessment centre, sorry, the children's panel. And my parents, obviously, as well.
What type of setting was it, and how long were you there?
Was there for about a year and a half. The settings, it was in the country, it was actually through the other side of Penicuik, near the Ledburn Inn. It was a big unit. It was, I think there were four units in it, with bedrooms and obviously a dining room. There was a schoolroom there, and
Just hold on one second, Gary. The information what you're saying right now is very relevant, but it will be in regards to the next question.
all right.
Apologies for cutting you short.
No, it's no
So you were
problem.
there for about a year and a half.
Aye,
Could
right
you
about
com
that, aye.
can you confirm what type of setting it was? So that either being like a care home or a residential home, assessment centre, as you stated before. What kind of setting was Wellington Farm?
It was a residential home.
Fantastic. So, in a few sentences, Gary, can you describe what your ordinary day life was like at Wellington Farm? So, at first, we'll just start off with the accommodation. Could you briefly describe the accommodation for me?
The accommodation, there was 4 A's in a room. You had your own bed. You had your wee side cabinet at the side of it. You kept your clothes in there. The rooms were in good nick. They were, I didn't think the place was that long built or refurbished when I was there.
What did you say was in good nick?
The bedrooms and everything, shower rooms and that, they were all in good nick again.
Was in good nick. Could you dis would you describe if they were all hygienic?
Yes, aye,
Would be in
they
good
were
nick.
hygienic, aye.
Yeah, fantastic. Would you just confirm for me what your daily routine was like at the farm?
You would get up in the morning, round about 6:30, 7 in the morning. you'll be getting showered, put your t-shirt on, obviously your underwear, your socks, jeans, and boots.
Boots, did you say, or boots?
Boots.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
And you go down the stairs, have your breakfast, and then you were sent to work.
And sent to work.
Exactly.
What? when you say sent to work, what type of labour was gardening, they making you do?
They had gardeners there. They had painters and decorators there. I worked in the motor mechanics garage. There was a bricklaying thing there, and all. It was all more or less. That's all you ever done was work. One day a week, I think it was either a Wednesday or a Thursday afternoon, we would get an hour schooling.
Hold on one second. Bricklaying. Only 1 hour a week?
1 hour a week, that was it, aye. And the teacher wasn't worth a shoot because he used to sit and play music.
So 1 hour a week was able to go to school, and it was one of the teachers of work.
I think he was an actual teacher. Kenny worked for the place, obviously, but he was an actual teacher.
Yeah, and was this on a Thursday, did you say?
It was either a Wednesday or a Thursday.
Oh, Thursday. What was the food like?
The food was just basic, but it was okay.
So it's basic and okay. So when you say basic, are you just referring to it being just okay food, three meals a day?
Aye.
And was you provided any clothing?
Yes, I jeans, underpants, t-shirts, and sweatshirts, obviously, and boots.
And what would you say the overall hygiene of these clothes that were provided to you were?
Well, they were clean because you would get your washing done. You'd put your washing in a basket.
You'd do your own washing.
And they come round and collected it. Some of the staff, I take it, would be sort of like a kind of housemaid, if you ken what I mean.
Yeah.
They would do your washing and that, and it would end up back on your bed, kind of washed and folded up on your bed, and you just put it away in your drawers.
All right, okay. That's perfectly fine. And how was the contact like with your family? Was it difficult? Was it ever difficult for you to communicate with your family?
I always was. I remember, I think my mother came out there once to see me, brother Kevin.
Yeah.
I was sort of close with my brother Kevin, so he come with my mum, obviously, to see his. But that was the only time I seen them.
Was you ever refused to be able to contact your family?
No.
So moving on to the next question, how did the staff and other children genuinely treat you?
Some of them are bastards, to tell you the truth. But one of the guys that was in the care home, in the place where me, sorry, put tadpoles in my cup of milk, and I drunk it, and ended up with the tadpoles in my mouth, so I ended up chatting about them.
And when you said there was a guy in the place with you who put tadpoles in your drink, was this a staff member or was this just another child?
No, it was a child. Well, he was sort of the same age as me, 15 or 16, eh?
You think he was 15 or 16?
I wouldn't have that. I remember his name was Davy. I can't remember his second name, but I definitely can. His name was Davy.
Davy.
Aye.
No problem. How did the staff treat you?
Terrible. You couldn't, if you'd done the slightest thing wrong, they would give you it tight, and I mean tight.
Sorry to pry about this. Gary, when you describe the staff treating you terribly, and if you did the slightest thing wrong, they would give it to you tight. What is it what you mean exactly when you say that?
Well, the mechanic, his name is Bob McKellar.
Hold on.
He was a member of staff.
McKellar?
Aye, Bob McKellar. He'll maybe be dead now. He's liable to be, because he was quite old when I was there. So.
Yeah. As you were saying, the mechanic, Bob McKellar?
Aye. He would, on two or three occasions, I got punched in the mouth, grabbed about, chucked to death, swung about like a rag doll with him. Can you made a mistake or something, when they was trying to teach you how to work on engines and things like that.
So you stated you was punched in the face,
right,
throwing around like a rag doll.
Right.
Was there anything else that you did?
That was all he certainly did. Mouthy, obviously, calling you a useless cunt and things like that. And then from there, I went out of the painter section and I got booted up the arse off of Charlie, grabbed with the hair a couple of times.
Sorry to interrupt again. So when you say Charlie, is Charlie a child or a member of staff?
No, he's a member of staff as well.
Do
I
you
can't
remember his
second name? He was a painter.
Charlie, the painter. What did you say? He'd done.
Booted his up the arse. Punched his in the arm two or three times.
In the head or the ear?
In the arm, punches in
the
arm a couple
sorry.
Of times, aye.
Sorry, Gary.
At the top of my arm, two or three times. Booted up the arse. Can't we get the fuck out of the corner, out the road and things like that?
I would say what, sorry?
Tell me, get out of that corner, out the fucking road. That was his exact words, to tell you the truth.
Get something out the road, did you say?
Get you to fuck out the road. Over in the corner.
Sorry about that, Gary.
That's all right.
Can you remember any, like, so being Charlie the painter and specifically Bob McKellar, do you recall any rules that they had, what you deemed to be at the time a bit unnecessary or questionable?
If you gave them cheek back or that, they would threaten you by getting your leave stopped.
With getting your leave stopped?
Aye, we used to get
just
my granny's on a Friday afternoon. I would get dropped off in Portobello.
So just for avoidance of doubt, you said getting your leave stopped. So like,
aye, stopped. Kind of like, say, just if you were on home leave that weekend, and if they reported to a Mr. Gilmore, he was in charge of the school at the time. If you reported to him, he could stop your leave.
Would you consider your leave being like weekend vacancy?
Aye, it's weekend. You got home on a Friday afternoon. Take us with minibus. I got dropped. I was one of the last to get dropped off in Portobello, and I would jump on a bus with Portobello up to my nana's. And on the Monday morning at 9 o'clock, you would get picked up in Portobello again and taken back.
Can you recall any punishments that you ever received, or any punishments that were known within the curse setting that was enforced by staff?
No, really, no.
No. Okay, that's fine. Any isolation or unsafe arrangements?
A couple of times put in the corner, but that was it. You weren't isolated. They never had sort of cells or anything like that.
Yeah. Apologies. So now, Gary, we're near the end of the institution, the final curse setting. I've just got a couple of questions left. As I did previously, I'm going to state for you now what the Scottish Redress Panel now considers factors of abuse. So I want you to consider every factor of abuse carefully in regards to your Wellington Farm curse setting, and make note if you did receive was a victim of any of this form of abuse. So neglect, that being inadequate or withholding of any food, clothing, warmth, hygiene, supervision, medical care, education or emotional support, being held in unsafe confinement or failure to protect from bullying, violence, sexual harm or other children or unsafe adults. With that being said, would you now say that there are things happen to you at Wellington Farm what you'd now consider to be neglectful?
Oh yes, I definitely.
Yeah.
No emotional support whatsoever.
So in relation to the neglect, oh, sorry, we'll go through that in the next part. So yes, the neglect. The other form of abuse is we'll go through is emotional abuse. So this would be any form of threats, humiliation, blame, name calling, isolation, different treatment, denial of family contact, being made to feel powerless or unwanted, or being forced to witness the abuse or humiliation of others.
I would see them up.
Yeah,
Aye,
no
definitely.
problem. I'm just going to go through the final two prompts with you. So the next being physical abuse. So any being the recipient of any hitting, slapping, punching, kicking,
Yes.
shaking, throwing, restraint, locking in, exposure to cold or hot water, denial of food or toilet access or use of an object, recorded injury slash pain, and whether treatment was provided, needed, hidden or ignored. With that being stated, do you consider any physical abuse that you was in receipt of in Wellington Farm?
Oh, I definitely.
And finally, the category for what would be qualified as sexual abuse would be any unwanted sexual touching or exposure,
Nothing like that at all.
sexual comments slash images, being made to watch, pressure or force to take part, attempted or actual penetration, oral activity or masturbation, photograph or filming, grooming, gifts, threats of secrecy, number of people getting involved, and approximate frequency slash duration.
Just give me a wee minute, mate.
Would you like to take a break?
No, I'm all right. I'm all right now. Right, I'm all right now.
Are you sure? Are you okay to continue?
Getting a bit emotional there, eh?
Yeah, that's honestly, Gary, if you'd like just to take 5 minutes, you can.
No, it's
I'll
okay
stay
now.
on the
I'm all
phone.
right now. I've got
Okay.
myself straightened up. I've got a flag. That'll calm me down.
Yeah, no worries. If you ever get a bit emotional as we continue throughout the witness statement, you are very free to take a break
Oh
if you'd
no, I
like
can't
to.
understand that.
Okay, no problem.
But I'm all right.
So after me reading that prompt, would you now, on looking back at your time at Wellington Farm, would you consider anything that happened to you was sexual abuse?
No, nene whatsoever.
No. Okay, no problem, Gary. Apologies about obviously reading
Ah,
the
no, it's
qualifications.
you've got to do your job, eh?
Of course, I've got to do mine, but also we want to make this as like as
No,
less
that's right.
stressful as you as possible.
No, I
It's just a
understand
little
that.
bit difficult sometimes because obviously
Sometimes,
we'd like.
and obviously, with coming up my son's death and all that's playing on my mind again.
Yeah, of course, of course. I again, all I can offer is my condolences, and
I hope
that you're going to be okay over the next couple of
weeks. I will be strong.
Good to hear, Gary. So just continuing on. So in relation to the physical, emotional abuse and neglect that you experienced, do you recall who was involved within them three factors of abuse and who was responsible?
Well, Charlie, for one. Mr. McKellar, two.
Mr. McKellar. Is Mr. McKellar spelled MC?
The guy that's in charge, you know. What was his name? Gilmore, his name was.
Mr. Gilmore.
Aye. I can't mind his first name, but you always called him Mr. Gilmore anyway.
Yeah, the surnames are completely fine. So you said Charlie was the painting teacher.
He was the painting instructor, aye.
And then Mr. McKellar,
he was a motor mechanic.
Yeah, motor mechanic. Teacher, and then in relation to Mr. Gilmore, do you recall what his role is? You said that he was in charge.
He was in charge of the whole place.
So, was he like a matron or like a headmaster?
Like a headmaster, aye.
Yeah. Okay.
Like a headmaster.
No problem. So, this is this next. Final parts of these series of questions might be a bit distressful, because we're going to have to go through three instances of the abuse. So could you give one clear example of what happened, where and when it occurred, what happened before or during and afterwards when you received the physical abuse?
Yeah, it was the first time it happened was in the mechanics workshop.
Yeah.
And I'd done something wrong with an engine, whatever I'd done, I didn't again.
Yeah.
Got a slap out of the heat, grabbed and thrown against the wall.
Let's see. Slaps over the head, grabbed, thrown against the wall. And just to confirm this being Mr. McKellar.
Aye, Mr. McKellar, aye.
What happened after that occurred?
More or less just ignored for the rest of the day.
Were you ignored even if you tried to tell somebody about it at that time?
Oh, aye, definitely.
And did you attempt to try and tell somebody about what happened?
Just my mum, obviously.
Just your mum, yeah.
Aye.
Okay, no problem.
No,
so how often did the physical abuse happen? Over what period, and did it change or become worse?
I would reckon it got worse through the year that I was there, or the year and a half I was there. It happened maybe about 6 weeks after I was there, 8 weeks, something like that. It was the first time. And it happened two or three times after that.
It happened how many times after that, sorry, Gary?
Two or three.
Two or three.
Two or three, aye.
Apologies. How often did this happen, Gary?
Happened probably over a 6 month period, two or three times in that 6 month period after the first time it happened.
Okay, and did this ever change or become worse?
Obviously it become worse because it happened two or three times after the first time, and then I eventually got moved over to the painter section. And I forgot to say to you, I know we got PE a couple of times a week in the afternoon as well.
Oh, for Wellington?
Aye, for Wellington, aye. I forgot to say that to you. It's just come back to me there now.
Yeah, it's okay, don't worry about it. Let me just go back and just put that in.
Another thing that would maybe be useful, I know, they made me do a charity walk. from Inverness to Edinburgh for the year of the child. I think there were maybe about a dozen of us.
Were you forced to walk, or was it like a compulsory thing, or was you, or well, you volunteered to do it?
No, you were more or less told you're doing it, and that's it. And what I didn't like was sometimes we stayed in a hostel at night, sometimes we stayed in a fucking tent at night, and you had to wash yourself in the river in the morning.
Right, okay, hold on 1 second. So this walk,
I remember it was for the year of the child.
It was for the year of the child.
Year of the child, aye. They did it for charity or something. And what they done was, took us a week to do it from Inverness to Edinburgh.
Inverness to Edinburgh?
Aye.
No wonder it took a week.
Okay. And obviously, we did stay in some places at night. But
hold on 1 second.
There was a couple of times we didn't.
They say that numerous accommodations, being hostels and sometimes rough camping.
Aye. And sometimes we had to just pitch a tent up at the side of the river.
Oh, sometimes rough camping.
Aye.
Inside of rivers. It sounds like the original Duke of Edinburgh, doesn't it?
Oh, I know.
Before it actually became a thing.
Aye. I find it quite funny. We got our photos taken.
It genuinely sounds like Gary.
I had a gollywog bearing on my back. Honestly, all the rest of the other guys were all white. I had the black gollywog on my back.
It genuinely sounds like, Gary, that you was probably one of the first ever group of people to do the Duke of Edinburgh Award. Have you ever heard of the Duke of Edinburgh Award?
Aye, I have. As a matter of fact, one of my pals won it a couple of years ago.
Oh, really? Oh, brilliant.
He's got MS himself now, Dean, but he's done a lot of charity work for MS.
Yeah.
Raised thousands and thousands of pounds, and he won it a couple of 2 or 3 years ago, I think it was, eh?
Oh, well, that's brilliant as well. Just going to bring it back. I've added what you've just said then about PE and obviously the charity walk. Going from Inverness to Edinburgh, I stated that you stayed at numerous accommodations, being like hostels, and sometimes where you was rough camping by the side of rivers. So now to bring it back, I'm just going to rejog what we were saying previous. So this was in relation to the physical abuse that you received of, that you reckoned it got worse throughout the year. It happened 6 to 8 weeks in after you got there the first time. Then it happened 2 or 3 times after that, after a period of 6 months. It always became worse each time. You eventually got moved over to the painted section. Do you know the reason as to why you moved to the painted section?
I didn't even care. I got moved out of it. I didn't care what far, but I got moved out of it. And you'll not believe it. That's what I ended up being, a painter and decorator. Unbelievable,
eh? Aye, true. Some things do happen for a reason, they say. Okay, so that's in relation to the physical abuse. You stated that it did get worse over time. What immediate... hold on 1 second. Just because there's three factors of abuse, I'm just trying to restructure my witness statement template I'm typing in at the moment. So just give me a minute or two, just so I can do this properly.
No problem at all.
So, in your relation to the physical abuse, Gary, what you've just stated, what immediate effects did you experience from this? That being any fear, any shame, any sleep problems, any bedwetting, any running away, any behaviour or school changes?
I run away from there as well, one time as well.
Yeah.
Obviously, I was frightened and all, and my mental health was terrible.
And this was following being a victim of physical abuse.
Yes, I.
From the physical abuse, did you ever experience any sleep problems, any bedwetting, any shame, pain or injury?
No bedwetting. Sleep-wise, again, I was terrible for sleep.
Hello?
Hello?
Are you still there?
I still hear that.
So, just continuing from what you're saying, but sleep-wise, would you say your sleep was affected following the...
Oh, aye, definitely. I'm still the same to this day. I'm 40 years, my wife's been raised now, so... still the same. I'm up easy half a dozen times during the night.
Well, it seems as though, Gary, that you're a very fortunate man to have your wife with you by this side.
For as long as,
yeah, she sounds like she's been very pivotal in your life.
Aye. So well, she spends the shit I've had over the years, Ken. She's seen it firsthand herself.
Yeah.
With Ken, my mother and father, and obviously I tell you that I found out in later life that it wasn't my dad.
Mm-hmm.
But Shirley, when I first met Shirley, Shirley knew for day one. She says, "I knew that wasn't your dad the way you got treated."
Oh, have you known Shirley since she was like a child?
18 she was.
Oh, no way.
There you go.
In relation to the physical abuse, sorry, Gary, did anyone witness it, know about it, or experience something similar?
Oh, they all would have guessed, but they wouldn't. As I say, they're not going to stick each other in, eh? They're all hushy-hushy, sleeping under the carpet. I've always wondered what it would be like nowadays, if it's all changed nowadays and things like that. I've passed the place a good few times when I've been going fishing. I've always wanted to go back in and have a look, but get the heebie-jeebies.
Get the heebie-jeebies.
Okay, when I think about it, oh no,
it's like, it's curiosity, it's like human nature, isn't it?
That's right.
The comparison. One second, Gary.
Me bother.
Did you tell anyone or try to get help when you was first physically assaulted in the care home?
Just my mum, as I say, that was it. In the days, you were afraid to say anything.
And I know this might sound a silly follow-up question, but why was you afraid to say anything?
For the consequences, in case it stuck to leave or assaulted you again or something like that, Ken.
Oh, that's... Take away your week and leave you. And now I'm going to go back through them series of questions now just for the emotional abuse. It will be a bit repetitive, I do apologise.
That's no problem.
So, in relation to the emotional abuse, who was involved or responsible, including names, roles, descriptions, staff or other children?
The same people and obviously my dad and mum and all. Because they've obviously had a big say at the children's panel, obviously, when I got asked to leave the room.
In relation to the emotional abuse, Gary, could you kindly provide one clear example of what happened, where and when did it occur, and what happened before, during, and afterwards?
The emotional abuse after I got assaulted, done my head in, obviously. That was at Wellington Farm. When I was in St. Catharines, I know that was near a secure unit. That was Ken. You could come and go sort of as you pleased. But they didn't bother either. They were just giving you abuse constantly as well.
What, the staff?
Aye, the staff, aye.
At Wellington Farm, yeah.
Aye. Ken, if you've done something wrong or that, I mean, you're only a bairn. Ken, it's... Didn't get me wrong, they all weren't like that. There was one guy I remember, was really nice. He actually left the work and he immigrated to Australia. He was an ex-speedway rider.
Oh, yeah.
Paul Landell's was his name. He was a really nice guy. He was very helpful in that. I probably could have maybe told him, but obviously I was 30 at the time, Ken.
Yeah, of course. It's glad to hear that at least there are some people there who...
he was really nice. Another guy called Manny Ross. He was a young guy, but he was very fair as well. Ken, he would try and help you if he could.
Yeah, that's good to hear. So when you say that... after you got assaulted, it did your head in, and the staff, did you say the staff would ever verbally assault you?
Oh, I called an arsehole, useless bastard, fatty.
Can you remember where this occurred?
That occurred in the mechanic's workshop, in the painter's workshop. And if truth be known, I can hardly read it right now. I've more or less had to teach myself today over the years.
Sorry, Gary, just catching up on the notes, won't be long.
No problem.
What happened after you experienced the emotional abuse?
I was obviously depressed, quiet. I run away that time right over the Pentland Hills, back to Edinburgh.
You run away to Edinburgh?
To Edinburgh. Back to my granny's house. And the pole was coming, lifted me out the house and took me right back to LF Warren again.
So in relation to the emotional abuse, how often did this happen?
It happened a few times. I was reckoning the whole time I was there, it's probably happened once, twice, three, maybe about five times, six times, something like that.
Yeah. Did it ever change or become worse?
Well, as I say, it obviously got worse as later on in the year.
Did it ever change? So when it changed, it got worse. Would you just say it happened more regularly?
Aye, more regularly, aye. And they didn't release me until I got a job as well.
I So now we're then going to go on to the next question in relation to the emotional abuse. What immediate effects did you experience following being a victim of the emotional abuse?
Dying to get away from the police.
Did you experience any fear, shame, sleeping problems, any
definitely. Especially the fear of it, fear to go back. I didn't want to go back.
Of course. And what else would you say you experienced?
Well, my sleep. Definitely, that's right. Been like that since I was young.
Yeah. Did anyone witness the emotional abuse that you faced, Gary, or experience something similar?
No, not really. Everybody we can, but they wouldn't, as I say, they wouldn't say how it is.
And again, Gary, did you tell anyone or try to get help?
I tried my ma, but she just kept saying everything will be all right, it'll all work out. But my mother was feared, to tell you the truth, I know.
She was feared?
She was feared of my dad, I know, aye.
So finally, again, Gary, it's just going to go through the same questions, but in relation to the neglect. So in relation to the neglect, what you faced, who was involved or responsible for that?
The same people, aye.
The same people?
Aye. Just be nasty, really, to tell you the truth. You're going to treat people like that. That's my point of view.
Sorry to ask this question again, Gary, but could you provide me one clear example of what happened when you was a victim of neglect?
Well, no getting to see my family for starters. I think that's a bit neglect, eh?
Yeah, you're completely correct.
No coming to see me or anything, can it? Made me feel I wasn't wanted to be anybody, to tell you the truth, at one time. I still feel like that to this day. The feelings have never ever went away, but I managed to control it now.
That's good to hear. Is there anything else that you're able to recollect in relation to neglect?
No, not really.
That's perfectly fine. So how often would your family not see you when it came to your scheduled visits?
I think I've only seen them the once, as I say, once at the assessment centre and once at Wellington Farm overall, all the time I was there.
Was you ever scheduled visits with your family by the children's panel or the local council?
None whatsoever.
Okay, that's fine. My final question in relation to your oh, just hold on one second while I just catch up with the notes. So now the final question, Gary, in relation to the curve placements, what was different at this placement compared with the others?
I think it was worse because obviously the physical and mental abuse was more in Wellington Farm than it was in the assessment centre.
Worse in the assessment centre. Yeah, is there anything else?
No, I would say that's about it.
Perfectly fine. So we've completed the assessment card, the assessment part. Sorry, we've completed the cursing part of the witness statement. Now we'll just be going through people involved reporting institutional knowledge. Across all the placements, Gary, where you've worked as a child, who were the main people responsible for this form of abuse? That would be any recorded names, you know what they are referred to as, any nicknames, roles, or any identifying details?
Just we have says that Bob McKellar, Charlie, Mr. Gilmore, my mum and dad, even the council let us do an assessment, the children's panel. They didn't want to listen to my side of the story or anything.
Yeah, one moment. Did you say is Mr. McHale was the motor mechanics engineer?
He's the motor mechanic. Charlie's the painter.
Yeah. And then Mr. Gilmore,
he was the headmaster.
Like the head teacher. Yeah. Were there any other children affected, and did you witness abuse or harm to anyone else?
Oh, I've seen them getting punched in that bit. As I say, their names now, I couldn't even remember their names now, Ken. It's been that long. The only reason I remember Davey's name is I actually seen him a few years ago.
Oh, really?
Aye, I bumped into him in the street and he recognised me. I've not changed much, my wife says. I'm skinny now, though, that's all right.
No problem. Why do you believe staff or the institution knew or should have known what was happening?
Oh, they were Ken. Because we got away with it. Ken, the staff have actually seen us getting grabbed and things like that, but they wouldn't say a thing about it. Remember, it was all secret service years ago. I worked for the council myself, Edinburgh District Council, so I came what they're like.
Yeah. So were complaints discouraged, ignored or punished?
Yeah, but if you complained about it, they wouldn't do anything about it. But if you done something wrong, you definitely got punished. No ifs or buts about it. I remember, I know, because I smoked at the time.
Yeah.
I'm sure we were allowed so many fags a day, but if you didn't behave yourself with that, you didn't get your fags.
Have you ever reported the abuse to the police, an inquiry, a professional, or any authority?
No, none.
No?
To the council, I tell my council about it.
You told the councillor?
Aye, I went to see a councillor when my son passed away. Because it all come out. All my childhood and everything come back. But what I was frightened to go and see the council was because my sister's high up in the mental health place that I was going to. But he phoned me and assured me that my sister wouldn't be able to get into my file or anything. So
no.
I went and seen him. I think I had about 12 sessions with the guy. And I just tell him for day one. And he's managed to sort of get my heat back on the straight and narrow again.
Well, that's good to hear. I'm glad to hear that you're in a better place
definitely.
Mentally.
I've got to be strong. I've got to be.
Of course. What happened when you told the counsellor?
Oh, I just tell him everything. He was understanding because he was... I tell him, obviously, my dad wasn't my dad, and I think the same happened to him.
Yeah.
And he says, at least I've worked through it now, he says, but that's just what... It'll all bring everything out, because obviously I was talking about my son, and it was so traumatic. But my son was, to be truthful, my son was neglected with the NHS.
Yeah.
And it doesn't wash with me at all. I'm trying to fight them now about it. Because they made my son lie in a concrete flare for a week and a half in a hospital.
Oh, my days.
Because they couldn't get a bed for him. Fucking joke. Sorry for my language. But it's a joke.
It's okay. Don't need to apologise for your language.
Honestly, district nurses coming in to check my son's legs and that, they weren't interested. Then they get his death certificate for about a month because the consultant was looking after him when he ended up in a coma in the ICU unit. He says it was neglect that killed him. And I had to go to the procurator first on it. We could have charged him, but it wasn't a criminal offence. It was
negligence.
But we didn't bother. We weren't bothered about that. We just wanted to try and make sure that if anything like that happens again, it doesn't happen to somebody else.
Yeah, of course.
And touch wood, it hasn't. His own doctors, they've changed all their policies and everything now, so...
Just going to move on to section 7 now. We've not got long left, Gary. Why did you move between placements and were the reasons explained to you?
Obviously, it was the children's parliament that sent us to them, eh? Between them and my parents. I still didn't account to this day why they done that to me. Obviously, I found out that he wasn't my dad, but it's obviously that's where it's all started off again. And being truthful, we were at the children's panel with me bampots at the time. In the 70s. Okay, it's totally different now because I care a couple of people that are on a children's panel now. And they're very caring people, Ken, but years ago, nobody followed me anything years ago, to tell you the truth.
Mm.
You're just a number, that's all you are, a number.
Did you run away, refuse to return, or ask to be moved?
I both, twice. I run away and I refused to go back. And so obviously, the police come and got his and took his back, eh?
When and what age did you leave Kerr?
I was about 16 and a half, I think. Found about that. I got a job as an apprentice painter and decorator through one of my neighbours, actually. One of my granny's neighbours. And I ended up being his apprentice for sort of the whole of my apprenticeship.
And how long was that?
4 years. And then I worked with Edinburgh District Council for 22 years. And then I had to retire due to ill health. Had a stroke and a couple of heart attacks.
So you had medical retirement?
Medical retired, aye.
So far, this is now moving on to Section 8. So this is all in relation to the impact that you've faced from your whole experience in Kerr. So this is a series of seven questions. So just try to answer them carefully and concise and accurately as you can.
Great.
How did the experience affect you at the time? So this being, with specifically being how it affected your safety, your trust, confidence, sleep, your behavior, your education, your relationships, or your ability to speak up?
Everything in that. Everything. Every single thing in that.
Hold on. How did it affect your mental health, including any anxiety, depression, trauma symptoms, panic, flashbacks, nightmares, self-harm, or any suicidal thoughts?
No self-harm, but everything else, aye.
How has it affected your physical health, Gary?
Physical wise, it's not many pieces, because well, a lot of the time I wouldn't even go out the house. I was scared to go out the house.
You would say you was agoraphobic.
Aye, definitely. Depressed a lot. I actually still take medication now for depression.
One moment. What's that medication, if you don't mind me asking?
Fluoxetine. Didn't he ask me to spell it? 60 milligrams a day, I take you that.
Flutoxiline.
Wait, now, there's my way to spell it.
Oh, fantastic. If she could spell it for me, that'd be brilliant.
F-L-U-O-C.
F-L-U-O-C.
L-O-T-I-M-E.
That's the highest dose of that you can take, and I've took that for years and years.
Hold on 1 second. What did you say the milligram dose was?
60 milligrams a day.
And how many tablets would you take?
Three. 320 it is.
Oh, no problem. Any alcohol or substance use?
No, no. I didn't drink at all now.
What would you say your alcohol consumption was like?
My wife says everything and anything.
Everything. So would you say it was...
Well, I went to the pub every day when I finished my work, 7 days a week.
So would you say you drank heavily?
Aye, I did, aye. I would say that, aye. I was a heavy drinker till late. Aye, but then...
And that you no longer drink.
I no longer drink. I've had a drink for a good few years now.
That's good to hear. I'm glad to hear that you're sober. Congratulations.
Aye.
Back to substance use. Did you ever take any drugs, anything like that?
I still do.
Like recreational drugs?
Weed.
Just the weed?
Aye, that's all. So why I smoke it is to try and get a sleep at night. It calms me down and keeps me calm. I only have one joint at night.
Don't worry, it's perfectly fine, I'm not judging.
I remember I told the hospital that I didn't take drugs and the boys told me I was a liar. come up my blood. I like a treat.
And it's to, and the weed is to help with your sleep.
Aye, that.
What would you say it does for you?
It relaxes me.
Yeah.
Oh, aye, definitely. Tells me it. Well, what you say is because I'm always full of anxiety, eh?
Yeah, perfectly fine. Moving on to the next question, Gary, how has it affected relationships, parenting, friendships, intimacy, trust, or isolation?
I would reckon I never trusted my mother and father or that. Any of my family. I didn't trust any of my family. The only one I trust is my brother, Kevin. That's the only one.
You say your brother's Kevin?
Aye. My brother, Kevin, he'll be 60-year-old, and Kevin, is he?
Yeah,
60 in April it was.
How has it affected education, work, confidence, any opportunities?
I can hardly read or write, as I say. I've had to more or less learn myself. When I'm reading a can of paper, a newspaper, it takes me over an hour to read the front page.
And you had to teach yourself?
Aye, more or less teach myself, aye.
That's fine. Did it affect your work in any way or your
No, home? No.
You just say it affected your education?
Aye.
Okay.
Aye, no, my work was fine. That was no bother at all. Because obviously I got taught. And
yeah.
You get used to doing it every day, so...
The last two questions, the final part of any distressing questions, what we have for the witness statement. The next question being, Gary, are there any triggers, places, smells, authority figures, any institutions or situations that you tend to avoid?
It's hard to say that one.
Yeah, no problem.
No, but. Aye, my family trigger it is. Aye, for sure, aye.
So what I've put so far is that it's hard to say, not that I don't know, just difficult to say my family is a trigger.
Aye.
Okay, that's perfectly fine.
Well, they definitely are, aye, without a doubt they are.
So finally.
I like one when I lose the plot with them. Which is all the time.
What impact has this had on your life overall, and what do you think may have been different
I'm
if it had not
happened?
I'm telling
you now, it ruined my life, and that's been truthful. I more or less had to drag myself up, but obviously I met my wife, and we had two kids. Our daughter's now 36, and my son would have been 31. But it ruined my life, but it was very, very hard, as my wife says, but I've managed to get through it. We've had our ups and downs like anybody else in life, but I'm just glad I've never went the wrong way than a good way, really, Ken.
Yeah. As you put it, ruined my life, that's been truthful. I had to drag myself up. I met my wife, had two kids, a daughter 36, and my son would have been 31. It was very, very hard. I managed to get through it. I've had my ups and downs like anyone else. Is there anything else what you'd like to add on to that?
No, I would say that's it.
Okay, no problem. So these next few questions, we should be able to just fly through. It's not in relation to your care settings anymore. So have you received counselling, therapy, mental health, any addiction support, GP support, or hospital or other professional support?
The GP, the counselling. She leaves on Friday. The doctor, I've had the same doctor for about 30 years.
At least you're both able to go together with visits. Saves the journey, doesn't it? So, have you been diagnosed with any relevant condition, and have you taken any related medication?
I've got a heart condition. What is it called, Shirley? The heart condition I've got.
Oh, it's
a fibrillation, something like that. A fibrillation or something. I've got thrombosis of the legs.
Yeah.
COPD. High blood pressure. Hundreds. I take about 30 tablets a day.
Just to provide clarity on this, so the relevant conditions would be like anything what can be stemmed from your time in Kerr. So if it was anything physical, so it would be
depression,
like...
Definitely. The depression is horrendous at times. And the problem is, when I get depressed, I don't talk to anybody or anything. I just blank. Even my wife, just I don't talk.
You become mute.
She gains when I'm having a hard time because obviously I don't talk in.
And you say it was Flux Team, wasn't it? What you take?
Aye.
20 MG. Do you take any anxiety medication or any other mental health medications?
No, just the fluoxetine.
That's perfectly fine. So the final question in relation to support and treatment. Are you receiving support now?
Yes, I am now, lad.
And what support are you currently receiving?
The counsellor. I've just finished seeing him.
Yeah.
And I still go to GP, obviously.
Yeah.
As well. I've sometimes got to take diazepam to keep me calm as well.
Hold on. So, anxiety medication, diazepam?
Diazepam, aye.
What mg is that?
30 milligrams.
And how many do you need to take a day?
One. Just one a day. I take it at night, to calm me down.
That's perfectly fine. So we're getting close to the final sections of the witness statement now, Gary. In your belief, what records may support the statement? That being care records, social work, school, medical, police, counselling, prison, / probation, benefits or any other records?
Can I understand that?
What records may support your statement? So would that be any care records, social work, school, medical, police, counselling, prison and probation, benefits or other records?
I would just write my counselling, eh?
Just your counselling.
The police would be able to give me records maybe when I was getting lifted for them, taken back to the school, I suppose, and all, but... After I've still got them, maybe they wouldn't even have them now, eh?
No, unfortunately not, due to data protection. Like, the laws only came in 2018.
Right.
Most of the policies back then, it has been quite difficult to collect some records.
Right.
Are there any records of injuries, running away, behaviour or school changes, self-harm, substance use, complaints, moves or family contact issues?
There'll not really be records. I mean, they should have the thing made about me running away. You would have thought they would have given you the records about that, eh? Really?
Yeah.
Again, because, they'll have it in black and white. That obviously a runaway from Wellington Farm and the Assessment Centre.
Like I said at the beginning of our previous call, all the records that we have obtained, we are more than happy to provide it to you if you wish.
No, that's fine.
Okay,
that's
no problem at all. Are there letters, photographs, reports, inquiry evidence, apologies, decisions, or previous correspondence?
No, nothing at all.
Nope. Could any sibling, former resident, friend, partner, or professional provide a supporting statement?
No, they probably wouldn't hear a statement.
Yeah, that's fine. Our record's missing.
My brother Kevin was really young and all, Ken, so...
Yeah, that's fine. Our record's missing or incomplete and has evidence bundle already been obtained?
No, sure about that.
That's fine. But now going on to previous claims, application or payments, the rest of these questions are very straightforward now, Gary. Have you previously made any civil claims, criminal injuries claims, redress application, complaints, police reports, inquiry statements, or claim to another scheme about this abuse?
No, not.
That's fine. Did you receive any payment, apology, settlement, or decision, or sign any waiver / discharge?
No, not.
No problem. So, Gary, in your own words, why are you applying to the Scottish Redress Scheme, and what would you like to come from telling your story today?
The people need to pay for what they've done wrong, Ken. In this day and age, it's no right. No. And it will maybe help other people in the future. You have to go through that, really, Ken. No, in my eyes, anyway.
No, of course. What would an acknowledgement mean to you?
Sorry, what's that?
What would acknowledgement from the Scottish Redress Panel mean to you?
Well, it happened. At least it happened, Ken.
You'd just be happy that they acknowledged that it happened. Right. Is there anything else you want Redress Scotland to understand about what happened or the harm you have lived with?
No. My uncle sort of got me there.
Sorry, say that again.
I said, I think we've got it all.
So now it's just the closing part of the witness statement, Gary, just to make sure that you are okay. So is there anything important that we've not covered or worded that you, or wording you want handled carefully?
No, that's fine.
How are you feeling after discussing about this? Are you feeling okay and are you safe to end the call?
I'm okay, but my head's safe, my head's getting on me. No, if you get sort of anxiety a wee bit, Ken.
Yeah. I do apologise for any distress that way it's caused.
No problem, I can't. It's not your fault, mate. You're only doing your job.
Is there someone you can contact for support, or would you like support service details?
No, I've got my wife there, and obviously the counsellor's called Gavin. I've actually got his phone number written down somewhere. He says if I need to see him again, he says going through the rigmarole, just to phone his mobile phone direct and I can go and see him, eh?
No problem. Have the next steps been explained to you?
Yeah, hi.
Yeah, they have? Fantastic. So, Gary, that concludes our witness statement today. I would like to say thank you very much for your time, and obviously with what you have experienced and what you've spoken to me, I know this has been a very difficult phone call for you, not only just to speak about and open up about, but also to refamiliarise yourself with. So I just wanted to make the note that you've been obviously incredible with bringing that back up, and you have shown a lot of courage. I do appreciate
I appreciate you, I know, because you're trying to do work for people that have been hurt and harmed in the past, Ken. And you try your best, that's the thing, Ken.
Yeah, well, we want to try and get you the best possible outcome we can in relation to putting forward your application, because obviously it's not something what any child should ever have to go through or even experience. So if we're able to obviously get an acknowledgement from the Scottish Redress Panel that states that they acknowledge the negligence in your care, that would be brilliant. And then also it would be a nice little additional package for you if we are able to get you any compensation. The compensation will be decided upon on the panel. It's nothing what we're able to try and claim that we believe you're able, you should be entitled to. It will be something what they will make a decision upon following us submitting the witness statement. But what will happen now, Gary, is that I'm going to go this week. I've got further witness statements, but I'm hoping by the end of Friday I might be able to have your witness statement fully drafted up for you. What will happen is that I will then send you a copy of your witness statement. It will be sent to your wife's email at shirleymackie70@icloud.com, just because that's what we have on file for relationship correspondence for you. Once you've signed the witness statement, when you believe that is an accurate account of your time in care, and it is within your own words, it will then be brought back to us, and then you will only need to do a further meeting, and that will be with my operations manager Jay, and as well it will be with our head solicitor here at MMA Legal. And it is literally just to confirm your identity. So it will be a quick video call on WhatsApp or any other platform. And all you'll need to do is just be present in the call, have your camera on, and then also have a identification papers with you. So like your passport or maybe your driving license.
I've got my driving license as well. And I've got my birth certificate there, so.
Well, fantastic, Gary. And then, that was all you'll need for that. I'd just like to obviously thank you again for your time, Gary. I appreciate you sharing your story with me. No, of course, it's absolutely fine. if you do wish to obviously contact us for any reason, feel free to do so.
I will do.
That's perfectly fine. Well, I hope you enjoy the rest of your week,
and you have a lovely
time with your wife, and try your best this weekend to obviously.
Aye.
We've got to
sneak away Saturday morning, the 2 hours for the day.
You're going where for the day?
Just got to jump the car and go wherever we end up.
Oh, that sounds nice.
That's what we've got to do on Saturday.
I went to the fairy pools in Scotland. Do you know Skye at all?
Aye, Skye, aye.
Yeah, I went to the Isle of Skye. I've been to Ayr as well. And Stirling I was camping. Oh, it was absolutely stunning. I felt like I was driving through Middle Earth, like I was in Lord of the Rings when I was going through some of the places. It was absolutely beautiful.
I'm trying to get my wife to go camping. She's not. I've got to buy one of their box tents to put on the roof of the car, but she'll not go.
Oh, I have a hammock, me, so I just find two good trees what are equidistant away from each other, and I just perch myself in a hammock.
That's the way I would do it, I know. I'm not being funny. Because I was dragged up, I could live off the land. Honestly, I could live off the land. I could skin a rabbit in seconds.
You can do it all.
Catch fish.
Ah, oh, brilliant. Well, I hope...
It's everything like that. You get your veg out the field for now.
Well, hopefully you and the wife might be able to go for a little fishing trip this weekend or whatever you get up to. I hope
we'll go, We'll go for something anyway. Probably going to have something to eat.
Just a wee stroll
just to reflect on things, Ken.
Yeah, of course. Well, I hope you both have a lovely time and my thoughts will be with you. My thoughts will be with you over the weekend, okay?
Okay, thanks very much.
No worries. Thank you, Gary. Have a lovely day.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye. Bye.